Well, he doesn't usually go in for warnings. She stepped back quickly and grabbed the boy's arm. Can I have a word with you? She said. We've only got a few hours and I'd really like to get this. It's important. He followed her into the wings. Behind them, the librarian tapped a few keys on the half-repaired keyboard and then ducked underneath.
I know who the ghost is, whispered Agnes.
Andre stared at her. Then he pulled her further into the shadows.
The ghost isn't anybody, he said softly. Don't be silly. It's just the ghost. I mean, he's someone else when he takes his mask off.
Who?
Should I tell Mr. Bucket and Mr. Salzella?
Who? Tell them about who?
Walter Plinge.
He stared at her again.
If you laugh, I'll kick you, said Agnes.
But Walter isn't even... I didn't believe it either, but he said he saw the ghost in the ballet school, and there's mirrors all over the walls, and he'd be quite tall if he stood up properly, and he roams around in the cellars.
Oh, come on.
The other night I thought I heard him singing on the stage when everyone else had gone.
You saw him?
It was dark.
Oh, well,
Andre began dismissively.
But afterwards I'm certain I heard him talking to the cat, talking normally, I mean. I mean like a normal person, I mean. And you've got to admit, he is strange. Isn't he just the sort of person who'd want to wear a mask to hide who he is? She sagged.
Look, I can see you don't want to listen.
No, I think... Well, I just thought I'd feel better if I told someone.
Andre smiled in the gloom. I wouldn't mention it to anyone else, though. Agnes looked down at her feet. I suppose it does sound a bit far-fetched. Andre laid a hand on her arm. Perdita felt Agnes draw herself back. Do you feel better? He said.
I don't know. I mean, I just can't imagine him hurting anyone. I feel so stupid.
Everyone's on edge. Don't worry about it.
I'd hate you to think I was being silly.
I'll keep an eye on Walter if you like, he smiled at her. But I'd better get on with things, he added.
He gave her another smile, as fast and brief as summer lightning.
Thank you.
He was already walking back to the organ. This shop was a gentleman's outfitter's.
It's not for me, said Nanny Og. It's for a friend. He's 6 foot tall, very broad shoulders.
Inside leg?
Oh, yes. She looked around the store. Might as well go all the way, it was her money after all. And a black coat, long black tights, shoes with them shiny buckles, one of those top hats, a big cloak with a red silk lining, a bow tie... A really posh black cane with a very knobby silver knob on it, and a black eye patch.
An eye patch?
Yes, maybe with sequins or something on it, since it's the opera.
The tailor stared at Nanny.
This is a little irregular, he said. Why can't the gentleman come in himself?
He ain't quite a gentleman yet.
But, madam, I meant that we have to get the size right.
Nanny Og looked around the shop.
Tell you what, she said, you sell me something that looks about right and we'll adjust him to fit. Excuse me.
She turned away demurely, twing, twang, twong, and turned back, smoothing down her dress and holding a leather bag.
How much will it be? She said.
The tailor looked blankly at the bag.
I'm afraid we won't be able to have all that ready until at least next Wednesday, he said.
Nanny Og sighed. She felt she was becoming familiar with one of the most fundamental laws of physics. Time equaled money. Therefore, money equaled time.
I was sort of hoping to get it all a bit quicker than that, she said, jingling the bag up and down.
The tailor looked down his nose at her.
We are craftsmen, madam. How long did you think it should take?
How about 10 minutes?
12 minutes later, she left the shop with a large packet under one arm, a hat box under the other, and an ebony cane between her teeth. Granny was waiting outside.
Got it all?
Yes.
I'll take the eye patch, shall I?
We've got to get a third witch,
said Nanny, trying to rearrange the parcels.
Young Agnes has got good strong arms.
You know, if we was to drag her out of there by the scruff of her neck, we'd never hear the last of it, said Granny. She'll be a witch when she wants to be.
They headed for the opera house's stage door.
"Afternoon, Les," said Nanny cheerfully as they entered. "Stopped itching now, has it?"
"Marvellous bit of ointment that was you gave me, Mrs. Og,"
said the stage doorkeeper, his moustache bending into something that might have been a smile. "Mrs. Les keeping well? How's her sister's leg?"
"Doing very well, Mrs. Ogg. Thank you for asking."
"This is just Esme Weatherwax, who's helping me with some stuff," said Nanny. The doorkeeper nodded. It was clear that any friend of Mrs. Ogg was a friend of his.
"No trouble at all, Mrs. Ogg."
As they passed through into the dusty network of corridors, Granny reflected, not for the first time, that Nanny had a magic all of her own. Nanny didn't so much...